prophet Jeremiah and turn to chapter number 2. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter number 2. Ljubav znam želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz proroka Jeremija, druga glava. So this word is coming as the Lord has called on Jeremiah to bear a witness for him, to be a prophet. And he speaks unto his nation here. And this is before the nation has the word of God, before they discovered it in the temple. So they're solely relying upon the prophet. As he says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Kittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made it his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tahaphanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidst, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princesses, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword had devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. May God bless our reading. Let us turn to him in prayer. When Josiah was the king, Josiah began to reign as a very young child of 8 years old. But this portion of scripture that we have read, he is a young man of around 21 years old. The prophet Jeremiah in the first chapter is given instruction of what he will do, how he will be the one to go and to speak to the nation, to God's people. For they were without the word. The word of God, which was given by Moses, the law of God, which was given, was forsaken. That was left in the temple where it had been forsaken completely. The king and the priests of that time were not interested in what the word of God had said. And so the people through the years are without the word. And it's no wonder that they are in the position in which they are in, because they do not have the Lord's instructions in front of them. But Josiah knew that the nation was completely given over into idolatry. And he knew that he had to do something about that. And despite not having the word of God with him, he knew he had to do this, and he purged and he sought to purge the nation of idolatry. And Jeremiah comes on the scene now. And it is only later that when Josiah sends men to go and to clean up the temple and so on, that they find the copies of the law of God, the word of God. And it is then that they have the word before them. But here we find that Israel has completely apostatized, but we see a word from the Lord, a word that is revealing of who he is. As the brother led us in prayer, that God's desire, we know his word states that very clearly, that his desire is not that any man should perish, but they all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so this is a people who had been shown the love, the mercy, the guiding, the power, has seen the power of their God. As he reminds them when he led them through Egypt, and a land that was uninhabited, could not go through it safely. But he led them safely, despite who they were to him, towards him, in that wilderness. He still led them safely through it. And he brought them unto a land. And he says, and they polluted that land. They polluted it. And they took the gods that the very gods that they went to serve are the same gods or the same people of those gods that enslaved them again. Because they departed from a living God. And what does this have to do with us today, dear ones? Everything. It is an absolute picture of man today. It is as relevant to us today as it was to the nation in that day when it was being prophesied and spoken of. Because we also were in desolation. We also needed the mighty workings of our Lord to bring us out of the enslavement of sin, the ugliness, the death that lay all around us. There's no way we could do it on our own. But the Lord was merciful, and he brought us out. And now he's telling the nation, I brought you out. I gave you that which I promised to you. And you're going back. You're going back to that. And so, dear ones, the questions we have to ask ourselves today is, do we look at the Word of God as something that is alive? Something that must be loved and obeyed? Or do we dismiss our disobedience as Israel had? Dismiss? Of course, we're not going to disobey everything. No. But we'll disobey something and we will explain it as, I'm a man, I'm in flesh. This is what I'm in. I cannot overcome it. And so I will continue to sacrifice. I will continue to sing. I will continue to learn to make it all perfect. I will learn to give. I will learn to be kind. I will learn these things. I will sacrifice. I will give the fat of rams unto my Lord, my God. I will give those things to him. I'm not going to fall into those gross, defiling sins, no. But I will continue to sacrifice. And the Lord will see my sacrifice. He will see my punctual arrival. He will see that I never forsake the assembly. He will see these things. And he will be pleased because I'm doing it for him. Isn't that what King Saul thought? King Saul thought when he was given a direct command to go and destroy the Amalekites, completely wipe them out and everything that is there. He saved the king. And the people said, you know, let's save the fat, the choicest rams and sheep and so on. Let's save that. Why? Because we will offer it to God as a sacrifice. As if God needs something from man. So he chose to disobey. But here, Lord, look what I'm doing for you. I'll give you, I didn't give this for me. I did it for you. And you disobey. And Samuel was sent to tell him, the kingdom has been taken away from you. Who gave this to you when you were nothing? When you were nothing. Who made you a king? Did you do it? Man loves to rest upon his doings, who he is. When he becomes a powerful man, wealthy, he thinks he's powerful, but he can't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow to him. Why? He has no clue. The richest, most powerful man in the world has no idea what the next moment awaits him. What kind of power and authority does he have then? Who is he? And King Saul is reminded of that. You were nothing. and you have forsaken me. I gave you a commandment, and you disobeyed. And from there, we have that the saying that we all know. It is greater to obey than to sacrifice. Far greater. Obedience. Brothers, sisters, and dear friends, obedience is greater than sacrifice. That's why Apostle Paul shows us that the works that we do will bring us nowhere. Nowhere. They can't take us anywhere. Saul did a great thing. He did everything he was told, except a few choice pieces of livestock he kept so that he can offer it to the Lord. God says, if I was hungry, do you think I would ask you for anything? The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I know every vein of gold and silver that you don't have no clue, and it will remain untouched by humankind until I return. I know where it all is. I formed it. I created it. I know where all the diamonds are that you covet and you want and you mine and you seek, the gold that you are bringing out of the earth. I know where it's all at. I made it. And I'm going to ask you for something. I'm asking you obedience. Believe and you will live. That's it. But that's too simple for us, isn't it? It's too simple. No, surely that I have to do something. So I will now be like this. I'm going to show. Here's how I'm going to be. And God will be pleased. Meanwhile, I'm going to disobey him. And I'm going to write it off as my weakness, my failings. But look what I'm going to do. Because it's too simple. The Lord and his teachings are too simple for me. I know better. Saul knew better. He knew better. And the kingdom was taken away from him. Israel knew better here. And what does God tell them? Is there any other nation of the Gentile nations that have changed the gods that they worship? Did they change them? And they're no gods. They're nothing. He said, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, he says. Be astonished that there is anything that we will hold and change the God whom we serve for the God of this world. He says, which is no God at all. It's nothing. He says, O ye heavens, be astonished at this and be horribly afraid. For my people committed two evils. They have forsaken me. Me. The fountain of living waters. The living waters are being forsaken. That which gives life, no thank you. And to take fresh living waters which give us life, we will take a cistern, something that is still and stagnant. But we can do more than that. That cistern won't even hold water. It's nothing. There's nothing in it. Not even cheap water. Not even dirty water. There's nothing in it. It's a broken cistern. But we formed it out for ourselves. Why? Because it's good for me. I like it. I want it. And so the Lord and his flowing waters are rejected. Rejected. Where do we reject him? When do we reject him? What is it in our lives that rejects the Lord? Disobedience. Disobedience. The In the book of Isaiah, it says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. We look at God as maybe being a harsh, that's harsh. What do you mean? There's judgment? No, God's not going to judge. So it's the same thing as saying, I am thirsty. And the law of creation is a man has to drink water in order to stay alive. In order to live, he has to drink water. And I'm going to say, I will not. Well, then expect one thing to come from that. Death. That's it. Death. Why? Now, is that a harsh thing? Why do I have to drink water in order to live? Why? That's harsh. That's not right. Don't drink. You're going to die. So no one is going to say, well, I'm not going to drink water because I don't have to. I can still live without water. Well, we're going to say the same thing in our spiritual lives. I don't need God. That's harsh. He surely will not cause me to die in my sin with the judgment of hell before me. The living waters are there. Reject them and you will die. We read the Sermon on the Mount and we read that as the instructions of Jesus Christ our Lord. We read that as a sermon of how we are to live. But that sermon is far more than an instruction to us. That sermon is Jesus Christ. That is who he is. And that is who he is calling us to be. That is who he is. That those are the laws that he has left for us. Those are the things that when we disobey him, we reject him. Because that's him. It's life. It's his word. The word became flesh. It is in the person of Jesus Christ that he has come and to show us a very simple life. That there is not one man on this earth that has ever desired him that could not find him. You don't need any law or you don't need any learning to be educated by man. Man cannot educate you in the ways of the Lord. Only the Lord can. All we can do is point to his word. Any other instructions that you will receive is falsehood. Think what probably one of the greatest pretenses in the world today is that there is a priest who sits between God and man. And we're going to go to him to have the blessings of God come to me. And I will confess my sin to him and he will forgive me. But it's embraced. It's embraced. Because that's all easy stuff. Everything is easy. Every part of a man's religion is easy. And I don't care how strict you can explain it or create it. Something that is just, whoa, that's way out there. That is so strict. Make it even stricter. It's easy. Because it's man's invention. It's easy. It can be done. But there's no life in it. There's no life. That which is hard is self. Obey. And how can I obey? How can I obey him if I don't know him? How can I obey him if I don't know him? If I don't read that sermon and know who Jesus is, how am I going to obey him? But when I learn who he is, will I love him? Will I love myself? Israel loved themselves. Israel loved themselves and they went back into bondage. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee? By the way, you have forsaken. That's what Hosea tells us. He says, Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But he doesn't stop there. And this is the beauty of who our God is. This is the unexplainable aspect of our Lord. He says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I'm not going to leave you that way. You tell me we would do that. You forsake me. You do all these things to me. You're out of here. I have no more use for you. And we will do it very authoritatively. There's no more use for it. That's not our Lord. But in me, Jesus is saying, in me is thy help. Come back to me. That's not man. That's not man's inventions. There's nothing that we can offer to anybody. It is all by the Spirit's guidance, a direction to take us to the loving arms of Jesus Christ our Lord. To forsake these gods which are no gods at all. What is our God? Mine might be different than yours. And yours is different than hers. And hers is different than his, and so on. But if our God is not the one who, from whom flows these living waters, then it's no God at all. We have forsaken him. We have destroyed ourselves. No, God is not mean. No, God is not. I can't believe he would do that to his creation. No, he said, you've destroyed yourself. Eve, when she took of the fruit, she destroyed herself. God didn't destroy her. He just gave her a commandment. Don't do that. Don't eat from that tree. Look at all this other stuff that I have for you. Everything is here. I don't think we can comprehend. I know we can't comprehend the beauty of the Garden of Eden, where Jesus Christ walked with his creation and talked with them. And what did he say? In me is thine help. What did he do when they sinned and have partaken of the fruit? What did he do? In me is thine help. Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? In me is your help. But we look to broken cisterns that can hold no water. Dear ones, the thought as we read these verses, I know my thought, and I'm sure it's the same as all of ours. It's way easier to focus on the story of what had taken place, to focus on the fact that how could these people have done this? How they had the evidence of all these things. They had the evidence of being led. All of this was real. How did they forsake the Lord? Unbelievable, right? I need to look at me in comparison to this and see what was the consequences of their failings and their turning away and their disobedience, and see, am I Israel? Israel of old? Israel that had forsaken their God? Is that who I am? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Forget giving your goods to the poor. And you think you're going to get a reward for that. That's your duty. That's your duty as one who calls upon the holiest of holies, the name above all names. If I claim him, that's my duty. And I do it unknowingly, out of a pure heart, willingly. Why? Because I love him. I've learned who he is. He is the Sermon on the Mount. That's who he is. And that's who he's calling me to be. Paul so eloquently brings that out in his chapter on love. A chapter that maybe we get tired of hearing. Maybe we lose our focus. Because those are things that we don't want to hear. I don't want to hear if I've just given a large amount of my earnings and everything that I have, I've given it all. And what do you mean? It doesn't mean anything. If I don't have love, well, I think I love. Do I love? And now I have to wrestle with that. Do I love? Yeah. And I convince myself I love as I disobey God. Who do I love? I love myself. Those are verses that aren't comforting to read. That take us and show us who we are. This chapter is not the comfort in this chapter is that even though Israel had apostatized, even though Israel had given over itself into idolatry, God said, "I am your help." And he looks upon them with grace, with favor, and he says, "Come back to me." That's who our Lord is. That is not who man is. He says, "Why are you pleading with me?" Doesn't that sound like us? Doesn't that sound like I've fallen into trouble? My health has failed me. My finances have failed me. Whatever it is. I'm in deep trouble. Lord, help. You've transgressed against me, he says. Why are you calling unto me? O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? He asked them, what have I done to you that is offensive? Imagine the Creator is asking his creation, what have I done to you that was evil? What have I done to you? When we disobey him, we say that he has done me evil. Because when I disobey him, I don't want him. And when I don't want him, it's because he's not doing good things to me. Eve was convinced that God is holding something good for herself from her. God is holding something good for me. He's holding it away from me. Isn't that what man is today? Isn't that who we are today? But I want it. I want that. I want it. And I'm going to give the fat of the rams. I'm going to pour them upon the altar. I'm going to give more than I should have given. 10%, I'm doubling it. I'm going to use that as a guide. I'm going to double it. The Lord will see. And he says here, I see your disobedience. Naaman thought he could disobey. Naaman thought it made no sense to do what he was told to do. He says, I wash every day. What do I need to wash 7 times for? And especially in these mighty waters. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He could have given everything he had. It wouldn't have helped him anything. Nothing would have helped him. He has to obey. And dear ones, here's the beauty of the Lord. All of his commandments are beautiful, just, holy, pure, that bring us peace, they bring us joy. We lose those things. We rob ourselves as we enslave ourselves back into Egypt. Back into who he has saved me from being. I'm going right there again because I know God is trying to hold that back from me and I know it's good. And he probably doesn't mean it
really that strictly. He's probably not going to enforce it that badly because, you know, look at all the other bad people out there in the world. Look at all the murders and all these things that are taking place. Right? Look at all that. I'm just a little blip on the screen that just did a little bit of something that isn't quite in line, and I can get away with it. We can think like that. But that means that only reveals one thing to us. We don't love him. We don't love him. And so all of our sacrifices will not be remembered. But Lord, I did this and this. I sacrificed this in your name. Lord, in your name, I did this. I sacrificed this in your name. Lord, I sacrificed this. Lord, I sacrificed my life in your name. I was burned at the stake. I don't know you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean in my life today? We see what it meant in the lives of the Israelites. What does it mean for me today? May God be with us in those moments of discovery when we search his word. If I will obey him, I have to know him who I am to obey. How do I know him? He left his word for us. Search it. Search it with an open heart, a willing heart, a heart that is broken, a heart that wants him, that wants the peace, that wants the joy, that wants to serve. To serve our Lord. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.